Thank you for that, Ken. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 2. We're not going to take time to read the whole psalm, but if you did read through the psalm, you'd find that there are people who are the rulers of the world, and this is looking at a day to come. It's still working itself out. There are still people who are acting this way now, moving against God. But there are people who move against the Lord Jesus, try to stop his reign, and their best attempts, it says that God is in heaven and he laughs. I remember one time when I would have been, I think I was maybe in grade 7, and there was a boy and he might have been 5 years old. And for some reason, we were playing King of the Hill. I don't know if you've ever played King of the Hill. It's when you're on the top of the snowbank and you try to stay on the top and everybody else tries to take your throne and take your place. And for some reason, this 5-year-old boy thought he was going to take my place on top of the hill. Well, he wasn't too difficult to get rid of, but he got quite angry and he hit me. And I remember when he hit me, I laughed because it didn't hurt at all. Well, the best efforts that men put against stopping God, he just sits in heaven and laughs. But there's just a statement I'd like to take from this psalm for a moment. Psalm chapter 2, and look at verse number 6. So these are words from the Son of God, and this is what he's relaying what God is going to say to him. Yet, this is God saying, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Just look at that statement in verse number 6. I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord has, from the beginning of time, before even creation, before time began, he had a plan, and the purpose of his plan was that his son, who was eternally with him, would as a man reign over all of his creation. That was his plan. That's God's purpose. And God has initiated then creation with that in mind. You see, the initiation of creation wasn't for your benefit. We do benefit from it. We do benefit from God's grace. But the primary purpose of God, even though he's so kind and so gracious, you think about how far above us he is. It says that of God, he has to humble himself just to behold the things that are in heaven, the heavens above, and the earth. Just for him to consider the things that he's created, just to look at the things that he's made, it's actually a humbling step for God to do that. And God is so kind and so gracious that he actually wants people that he's created, people that have sinned against him, people who want nothing to do with him. Those are the people, those ones that are sick, that are so incapable of curing themselves. Even the ones who try so hard to clear their heart and to clear their mind and to eradicate sin from their life. And they fail time after time again. And then there's ones who don't care at all and don't care about God and don't care about who Jesus Christ is and think that he's a liar and think that he's a lunatic. And God says, those are the kinds of people that I want to be with me forever. Why would God ever choose somebody like that? Why would God ever choose somebody who puts their fist up to heaven and says, please leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with you. Why would God ever want a person like that to be with him in heaven? But you see, God is gracious. But his primary purpose, the purpose of all of creation, was focused on one. Even though anyone who is willing to trust him, anyone who is willing to believe God, every single person who comes to God through Jesus Christ will enjoy eternal salvation and the goodness of God. His primary focus is on his son. And that's why when we preach the gospel, as you've already heard, our attention is to try to turn you to the person of the Lord Jesus, to get you to consider who he is. Because God, this book that we've read from, the purpose of God in this book is to reveal his son. He says, there's one thing that I want you to know. It's my son. You want eternal life. You've already heard eternal life is Jesus Christ. And he holds him up and he says, I have had a plan ever since before time was that I will set my king, his son, on my holy hill. He will set him as the one who is going to judge. It says that he has taken all judgment. Remember that God is holy. Remember, God has to judge sin. God doesn't sit back and he's not like a person who's looking forward. We do that now, don't we? You see that in the media all the time, where there are people who are just waiting to be able to judge somebody. Please allow me, it's not a political statement, but allow me to use Mr. Biden, President Biden, just for a moment. There are all kinds of media sharks who are analyzing every single little word and action that he makes and says, trying to find some fault because they just can't wait to judge him. And that's natural for us to do. To try to judge. God is not wanting to judge. In fact, his heart is the exact opposite. He knows he has to judge. He has to judge sin. He has to put sinners away. But he doesn't want to. He wants them to be with him. He wants to change them. He wants to save them. And he has taken all of the judgment for all sinners of all time. And he said, I'm going to take this judgment and I'm going to commit it to my son. And it's my son who's going to set on the hill. My son is going to reign. My son is going to rule over all of this creation. My son is going to judge all sin. That's the purpose that God has had. But I want to turn back now in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. When I was in college, there was one of the professors who made a statement. This was well before I was saved, but the statement stuck in my mind. He said, one of the most clever things that the devil has ever done is to convince people that he doesn't exist. Convince them that he doesn't exist. I remember a time we stopped in at my father's house, my mother and father, and Dad was out working on a fence. And he had his electric drill, and he was drilling on the fence. And because he was looking down at the fence and had the sound of the drill, he didn't hear us drive in. So I went over to the electric cord and disconnected it. Drill stopped working. Plugged it back in, drill started working, started drilling again. Disconnected it. Drill stopped working again. What's going on? Plugged it back in, drill started working, started drilling again. I did that 3 or 4 times. And finally he stood up and he was just going to throw the drill. And just when he was about to throw the drill, he saw me. Standing there with the cord. But you see, all the time that he was going through this difficulty, it was me in the background. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know I was the one who was doing that. The Bible says for those who are walking in the world tonight, that you're walking according to the course of this world, led by the prince of the power of the air, rocked to sleep in the arms of the wicked one. And he has done a wonderful job of convincing people that he's not even there. And here in chapter 3, look in chapter 3, I'll just give a little bit of context in a moment, but look at verse number 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heal. So here, God had created man. Remember the purpose. What's the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is his son, as a man, is going to reign. And now there's one of his angels who's considered what God has said. And he said, I don't agree with that. It's not him. It's not a man that should get honor. God, it humbles you just to look down at creation, and you're going to take a man and he's going to rule? No, consider how great I am. Consider the position that I have. Consider the glory that I have. It should be me. I should reign. I should sit on the mountain. But there's a problem, because man's already here. The process has already started. God has already started to work towards his final goal of his son as a man sitting in judgment. And all of creation bowing before him. How can it be stopped? And through the course of our Bibles, what we're going to find is time and time again where this one who has deceived so many has come in and he's tried to derail the purposes of God. And here were the man and the woman, the first two created, Adam and his wife. And he's come to them. He's a murderer. This serpent is a murderer from the beginning. I have to corrupt the human race. If I can corrupt the human race, a man can't set as judge. I can stop God. And man listens to the serpent. And they disobey God. That's what sin is, disobedience to God. You've disobeyed God. You haven't done what he said. One of the very first things that we know of God is this, believe. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. He's commanded to believe the gospel. And if you're not saved here tonight, the very fact that you're not saved is evidence that you've not obeyed God. And man disobeyed God. They listened to the serpent, the devil. And the judgment to the serpent was this, you'll go on your belly. But there's a time coming when the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And your best efforts are going to fail. You'll be done. In the meantime, you will bruise his heel. It won't be a free ride for him. It'll hurt. It's going to cost him something. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. But humanity has been corrupted. What's he going to do? Well, we can fast forward to 2,000 years where we meet the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. God come down, incarnate, made man. Born, as the prophet says, of a virgin. Untouched by sin. The fulfillment of the promise of God, of the seed that was going to come to crush the serpent's head. And we can see all through this book, God takes Noah. You see, God's desire was always for man to be with him. I think it was David pointed this out, that God was in the ark. God was in the ark. God wanted people to be with him. And all through this, God has overridden the best efforts of the devil to end humanity. Because remember his purpose. He will set his king on the holy hill. His king will reign. The sun will set in judgment. And all through there we see Noah and the flood, and we see this entire world destroyed, and all of man's thoughts were evil continually. Sin had corrupted the entire human race. But God in his grace saw that there were eight that were saved. And man starts over again and God says, go out and multiply and replenish the earth, fill the earth. And man says, no, led by Satan again, we're going to stay put. And God comes down and he says, you're all going to talk different languages and you'll just spread out now, just like I said, because my purpose is going to come. And we see God calls, there's a nation, he says, out of all these nations, they've all turned against God, they've all turned against him and his will. He said, I'm going to call out a nation, and it's from this nation, this is the nation I am going to use to bring this seed, this Messiah, this Christ, my son. I'm going to use this nation to bring him into the world. And from that moment that the nation is formed, they're formed in slavery in Egypt. And from the moment that they're formed, all the nations move against them and try to destroy them. Even today, Israel is a subject of attack. He wants to crush the nation. God has promises for that nation. And in his mind, the devil says, if I can destroy the nation, I can end the purposes of God. I want you to turn with me into your New Testament. Come to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. We're just going to stop here for a moment. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 21. Luke 11 verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. How many people in this world are unknowingly being led by the prince of this world? Being led by the devil, who's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. How many are just sitting in peace? Not even aware whose kingdom they're sitting in. Not unaware, as it says here, of the palace that they're sitting in. A palace of darkness. A palace that's ended for destruction. When a strong man, that is the devil, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. The Lord Jesus has proved, we could have read earlier in this gospel and in the other gospels as well, the Lord Jesus, now the Son of God, has come down. He's born into this world as a man, and he's been led now out into the wilderness. And while he's in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, he meets with the tempter, the devil. Why? Why is the tempter there? If he can just turn Jesus from his purpose, God's eternal plan will be done. The king won't sit on the hill. The Son of Man won't reign. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he tests this man, the Lord Jesus. There's no crack in his armor. He's perfect. He's sinless. The first man was actually very easy to deceive. Very easy to turn away from the purposes of God. Only a few words were spoken, and man disobeyed God. But this man, for 40 days and 40 nights, put under the most intense pressure any man has ever been in, and he walks out in the power of the Spirit, no sin in him. And he shows that this man, this strong man, the devil who has kept so many and has had the power to control nations, and has the power, if you're not saved, to keep you in your sins. You've listened to him. And Jesus shows that he's the stronger one. He showed that he's got no power at all. He's bound him. You see, now this palace of darkness, these ones who are sitting in the palace, the ones that don't know, this is why we preach the gospel. We want you to know the doors are open. The palace is open. There's freedom. You can leave this place. Jesus has proved that you can be freed from your sin. You can be freed from the influence and grip of this master that is currently over you, that's leading your life and taking you to destruction. He's blinding your mind, trying to keep the gospel from penetrating your soul because he wants to end the purposes of God. And the purposes of God aren't just for his son. His son will set on his holy hill. And man has tried his best. We could turn to Isaiah 53. And the question was this: who shall declare? This one was cut off in the midst of his days. Who shall declare his generation? That was a terrible insult to a man, to not have any children, and his line was done. Who shall declare his generation? But we could turn to Psalm chapter 22 if we wanted to. And we can find after the suffering of Calvary and after he's raised from the dead that there's going to be a generation that will serve him. You see, God's purpose wasn't just for his son to set on his holy hill. That is an eternal purpose. That will happen. But his purpose was this. There was going to be an innumerable amount of people, the redeemed, who are going to gather around with him. And he's going to bring many sons into glory. And the purpose of God is not only that his son would set on his hill, but that you would be there. That you would be there. You'd be with them. Able to stand in all your sin and look freely on a holy God who has a light that is unapproachable, and to stand very comfortably in his presence and say, I belong here. Wonderful. I belong here. That's how much the Lord Jesus changes a person when he saves them. He's actually made them fit and presentable to God, accepted by God. Nobody in heaven is going to be hiding behind the curtain. Nobody's going to be hiding behind the person in front of them, trying to steer clear like you do in class when the teacher's looking for an answer and you want to sit behind the person who's in front of you. Nobody's going to be trying to avoid eye contact with God. We'll very gladly stand in his presence, completely cleared of any sin. But you see, still today, the devil is not going to, despite his best efforts. When the Lord Jesus was born, Herod, led by the devil, tried to have all of the children in Bethlehem killed. But he didn't kill Jesus. And despite his best efforts, he is not going to stop the purposes of God for his son. But the sad reality is this. If you're not saved here tonight, the devil might just accomplish his purposes for you. He can't stop the fact that the Son of God is going to judge sin. He can't stop the fact that the entirety of creation is going to bow before him and acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But he might be successful in blinding your minds just long enough that you're not one of the ones that sits with him. You're not one of the ones that joins in and sings praises and evidence to this world of the generation of Jesus Christ, one born into the family of God, one of the redeemed. He is the stronger one. He has the ability tonight to save you. And this is how easy he has made it for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You want to be free from sin? You want to be free from the guilt of sin? You want to enter into that kingdom and see God's purposes carried out eternally and be in the blaze of God's glory and be accepted? God has said everything is done. My son has accomplished it all. He tasted death for every man. There's not a single human being that needs to pass into judgment. No one needs to go into the fire. No one needs to be put out. There's room for everybody. He's tasted death for every man. He's the stronger one. He can redeem. And he wants to redeem you tonight. And he said, the Son has done everything. All I ask is this. Believe. Do you trust him? Can you trust this God? Can you trust this God who is going to set his king on his holy hill of Zion? This is the Christ Jesus that you've been hearing about. This is the one who knows all about you. And tonight he's still willing to save you. We'll pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that we can speak about the Lord Jesus. We think of what Joseph said, "Tell my Father of all my glory." Our Father, our minds just fail when we try to think of the worth of this man, Jesus Christ. But we're thankful words have been left for us in scriptures. We're thankful that things have been left for us so that we're able to tell forth the grace of God. We're able to speak about salvation. We're able to speak about a Redeemer. Tonight, for everyone that's here that doesn't know thee as their Father, we give thanks for thy kindness shown to them, even tonight, in giving an opportunity. We pray for the activity of the Spirit of God to work in their minds, to convict them of their sin, and to shed the light that is so needed to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we ask for help in the name of our Savior. Amen.